Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Taino Sagrado for you Taino speaking folks out there. That's Taino cool to you. Well, check it out. I'm here in New York City, Lenni Lenape land. Let's give a shout out to the ancestors of this land. Like to give a shout out to all the Taino ancestors who gave us strength so we can be here 500 years, 38 years later. So check it out. We have a great show today. Yesterday was kind of short. It's an introduction to the Taino creation stories. You know, many religions, or I should say most religions, have sacred texts like this, what we call scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, the Christian scriptures, the Quran, and so on. But check it out. During this huge, devastating invasion in 1492, something did come out of it, and that was these sacred stories that were handed down to us by Cacique Guatibaba, a.k.a. Juan Mateo. So here it is. This is Guatsabara Radio, Taino Radio. Guatsabara means warrior or war. Check it out. This war is nonviolent. The war for Taino identity and survival represents knowledge, okay, and also love for our culture. So we have to have a solid foundation, okay? And Guatsabara Taino Radio is going to talk about various aspects of how we can keep our culture alive, how we can wrestle to keep the culture alive. La lucha, este Guatsabara Radio Taino, para todos ustedes que hablan español, muchas gracias por representar y estar aquí en el show. Me llamo Taino Sagrado, en Taino se llama Taino Q, yo era luchador. Con Loa, L-A-W, y también en Puerto Rico, L-M-W. Muchas gracias por ustedes escuchar. Vamos a luchar por la cultura taína. No es algo malo, es algo bueno. It's never wrong to identify as indigenous if it's in your blood, if it's in your culture, even if you have 1%. It's all right. That means the bloodline is Taino, but most importantly, the culture, la cultura, that's what's important, you know, and that's the key. In future shows, we're going to talk about that, how we could be comfortable identifying as indigenous, Hispanic, Latino, Puerto Rican, so on. These are all terms. Colonization gave us these words, gave us these terms. But check it out, for those that identify, those that want to connect, this is the show for you. Indigenous Caribbean, okay? This is what we're about. So let's get down to the creation stories. Last night, I spoke about Yaya and Yayael, his son, Yaya, which Juan Arom translated into spirit of spirits. So right now, there's an indication here that spirit of spirits represents this higher power, this higher being, this creator or creatress, which is beyond all spirits. So this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Why? Because there is identity, there is spirituality in these stories. So check this out. Last night, we spoke about how Yaya killed his son. In the future shows, we're going to go into this. You know, why would a creator kill their son? You know, why would a leader kill their son? So we're going to go into, you know, these stories that I'm sharing right now, it's just you know, word value, just reading as is. There's no interpretation, there's no reflection. In biblical studies, they call it exegesis, where you get behind the text. We're not doing this now. Not yet. I'm just going to introduce you to the words, to the concepts, to the stories. Why? This is Guasalada Taino Radio. We need to understand. We need to learn. So Yaya killed his son. He and his wife put the bones, Yaya's bones, into a gourd which hung on the Bujio ceiling. And check this out. Later on in the future show, we're going to talk about how this still is in existence now, this tradition of putting bones in gourds. So check it out. So what happened was, after he did this, he went off. Well, after a period of time, he asked his wife to bring down the gourd, and the gourd came down. And to their amazement, there were water and fish, no longer bones. And then what they did, since the fish was good, sustenance, protein, and so on, they ate the fish. And then we have Deminon coming to existence. Itibakahubaba, the bloody age mother, gave birth to quadruplets, two set of twins. Only Deminon was given a name, Deminon Garakarakol. In future shows, we're going to break this down, the names, the structure, the meaning behind the name. But for now, all you need to know is Deminan Caracaracol was basically the leader of these brothers. He was named, and he did manage to find the gourd that was hanging in the ceiling. So with the help of his brothers, he managed to take down the gourd. They were very hungry, and what did they do? They ate the fish. And now, in time, they heard Yaya returning from his gardens, or his gonucos, and this made them a little scared. So they put the gourd back on top of the ceiling, but since they were in a rush because of fear of getting caught, the gourd fell. And because of this falling, the gourd broke. And this is how our ancestors believed that the oceans came to be. So now we get to the part of the creation story where Deminon and his brothers, they flee. They find a canoe, and they start paddling in the ocean, and they confronted, or they met up with their grandfather, Baya Manako. And Baya Manako was, minding his own business, as they say, like what grandfathers do. They're just chilling. And then, bam, right there, Deminon shows up. I guess he barges in like grandchildren normally do. They want to have fun. They want to meet their grandfather, grandmother. And what happens? Baya Manako gets very, very upset. I guess he was doing something very important. Here's the clue. He took some guanguayo out of his nose, a snot, and the snot contains the cojoba. So most likely he was performing the cojoba ceremony. And in future shows, we're going to talk about cojoba and the importance of that in Taino spirituality. But he took the snot, and he threw it in Deminon's back. Ah, and that caused an ulcer, a burning sensation. It was an injury. And Deminon, I guess he learned his lesson because, you know, he demanded a salabret. And I guess he didn't say it in a nice way. He demanded it. Like, you know, a lot of grandchildren do that. Hey, give me this, abuelo, abuela, dame esto. So what happened was, bam, he leaves the scene. Oh, I forgot to mention something. When Deminon did see his grandfather, he said, Ariacao Guaracoel, which means we're here to see our grandfather. And so check this out. We're going to go into future shows about that as well. What was the meaning of these quotes? So what happened was, Deminon, check this out. He tells his brothers, hey, you know, he told him what just happened, and the brothers see this ulcer on his back, and they freak out. So one of the brothers takes an axe, which is called the manaya, the sacred axe in ceremonies, and they start hatching at it. They start cutting at the ulcer, and finally the ulcer comes down, and there pops out a live female turtle. Okay? So according to the story at this point, the female turtle is built a home, and each of the brothers, copulate with her, and they have children. And guess what? These children are the first humans in the Earth Mother. in the home that we call Mother Earth. Now, there was a writer, a Spanish chronicle. His name was Pedro Martil, and he wrote about this story as well with the female turtle. And he interpreted the female. A lot of these writers like Ramon Panay, Pedro Martí, they had different interpretations. But Pedro kind of sensed that this female turtle was actually the island, you know. And so that's the theory. It was a living island, the turtle, just like similar to the North Turtle Island. So he would have common concepts, indigenous concepts. Now, in Taino times, the female turtle was considered sacred. You know, you didn't eat it, the freshwater turtle. And then what happened was, throughout time and colonization, that turtle not only wasn't sacred, but it was good luck. You know, if you ever have experience, you come down to the 20th, 21st century, I don't know if you're Puerto Rican, Boricua, I don't know if you're Dominican, but usually in a traditional home, they have turtles, you know, and most of these turtles are freshwater turtles, and they roam the whole house, you know. They have their tank, or they have their place where they eat the lettuce or the food, but they have free reign, and they put them in bathtubs. They put them in the bathtub. My great-grandmother used to have one in the bathtub, and we used to wash the turtle. His name was Tony, and he would walk around and so on. I've been a social worker for close to 18 years now, and I remember doing home care for 17 of those years, and 14 of those years. And what happened was, I remember going to a bathroom in East Harlem. It was a Boricua couple. They were in their 80s, and I go into the bathroom, and I hear this noise coming from the tub. So I got really scared. I'm like, oh, damn, is someone taking a bath? And I kept hearing, like, knocking, like, doom, doom, doom. So I opened up the curtain a little bit, and boom, there it was, a turtle. It was right in the bathtub. And the thing that was crazy about this turtle was I had the Puerto Rican flag painted on the turtle. I never forgot that. So, yeah, the turtle's sacred during the Taino times, the indigenous traditional times, I should say. And then during the colonization times, it became good luck, still to this day. A little cultural continuity there is very important to understand. But these creation stories are very powerful because they teach us certain hidden messages as well. In future shows, we're going to break this down. But I just want to introduce you a little bit of the creation stories. So for many of you that this is the first time listening to these stories, we're going to introduce you now to a new era. The first era, the cycle of creation, is the celestial beings, you know, celestial beings. So we have Yahya, we have Yahyahed. We don't have a name for his wife, but then we have Atiba Kahubaba, the bloody age mother. And then we have Deminan. His three brothers do not have a name. Now, when Deminan was actually, I forgot to mention this, when Deminan was leaving to meet his grandfather, he bumped into another figure, and his name was Conel. And Conel, all we know is that he was a mute. He didn't talk and so on. He didn't listen. He couldn't hear. So a very interesting character. Here in South America, there's similar characters, the mute, you know, character in these creation stories. So in future shows, tune in. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to break it down. Okay? So this is the celestial beings in this first creation stories in the first part, which is, I guess we could break it down as cycle one, the first era in this creation stories. Then the second era is the creation of the human beings. So as we know, the turtle woman, the turtle mother, gave birth to the first humans, which makes Deminan and the brothers, the father of humans. So you have sacred beings, or what we call semis, giving life to humanity. Very interesting. You know, I said this in prior shows, And I said this in private to people, and I guess in public seminars and stuff. I always said that when you put all these semis together, and we're going to dedicate tomorrow's show on semis, these are sacred beings. But when you put them together, they're like puzzle pieces of the puzzle. When you put them all together, what do we have? We have the highest power. My theory is our ancestors really didn't have when Panay asked them about who is your God, they said, we don't have a name for God. You know, we know he's the spirit of spirits. We have some stories. But he did bring us helpers, you know. Or I should say, there are helpers in the world that assist us in our daily living. So that's going to be tomorrow's show, okay? So tune in for that. So what happened is there's a character called Guajayona, okay? And Guajayona is one of the first human beings, and he came from a cave called Casibajagua, and that's the cave that the men and women came, the first humans, okay? And something happened that in Casibajagua, certain characters, you know, these human characters showed up, and there was a lot of transformations. Now, he had a brother-in-law, according to the story. His name, he was a chief, Cacique Anacacuya, which is interpreted as the center of light. So most likely, this representation of Cacique, you know, the center of light, we know that Caciques were the servants of the people. They were the representatives. They were held in high esteem. So probably this is the most, you know, honorable person in the village. He was trained as a child. He or she was trained as children by the Vejique in the seclusion of caves. And then once they became a chief or chiefess, you know, they represented the tribe. Their life was the life of the people, okay? So I can see that translation, the center of light. You know, light being, you know, I guess goodness and life and so on. So what happened was something must have happened where there was a disease that occurred. So what happened, Guajayona, he wanted to, he took all the women, and these women had children that were breastfeeding, and he told the women to stay, to leave the children behind, leave the men behind, and come. So they went with him, and he went with his brother-in-law, Cacique Anacacuya. So here's a little signal of disease or, you know, pandemic that occurred in these early times. And what happened was they went out to the sea in a canoe, okay? And then Guajayona, he looked over the canoe into the ocean, and he saw a cobo or a conch shell. And what happened was he told the cacique, Anacacuya, hey, look down in the ocean. Look, there's a beautiful cobo or guamo, okay? And then what happened was the brother-in-law, he looked over the cacique at the edge of the canoe, and Guajayona, he took him by his legs, and he threw him down in the ocean. So we can only assume that he drowned, this cacique, the center of light. So Guajayona, you know, again, an image of this guy is not really that nice. Like, he just killed a cacique, you know? He drowned them in sea. So what happened was he took the women for himself, and he brought them to an island called Martinino. Martinino. Don't worry, future shows, we're going to break these names down. And then he went to an island called Guanin. So he left them at Martinino, and he went to an island called Guanin. Okay? And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. As you can see, a lot of these stories talks about, it's very intriguing, a lot of death and a lot of deception and so on, a lot of anger, but it's interesting. So what happened was he left the women in Maitino, and according to the story, he got sick himself. He got sick. So whatever disease that was afflicting the men that he left them behind afflicted him. So he tried his best to purify his body, to bathe with a healing herb, okay? And what happened was, it just, and I guess it didn't work that well, you know, the deagle herb. And what happened was, he met up with a woman. Her name is Guabonito. And Guamanito took Guajayona, and she offered to heal him of his afflictions. And what happened was, according to the story, she took him to a guanada. And guanada is interpreted as an isolated place. And there she healed him. And afterwards, she tried to accompany him on his voyages. So after he was cured of his disease, his name was changed to Abe Borayel Guajayona. So here's a little indicator or two, I guess, during a time of illness, a time of change. You know, you will change your name. I'm going to break this down on future shows. But Abe Borayel Guajayona, okay? Now what happened, Guabonito, which is a female, at this point, you know, she's doing healing rites and plant medicine, so it's safe to say she's a Behique or a medicine woman. And then what she did was she gave them guanines. And guanines were pendants or medallion made of metal. And this guanine is a mixture of copper, silver, and gold. And this was made by Mayan people. So here we go. We have a little indicator here that of our Mayan roots. Okay? So what happened was this copper, silver, and gold mixture of the guanine became central in cacique identity, because this is what the cacique wore, a round medallion. And here we go. So we have a ritual here from a Behique, a woman, medicine woman, anointing a new Behique. Okay? So the guanine is, you know, it originated from Guabonito. A lot of people don't understand this. A female Behique was the one that created the guanines, those medallions and stuff, and those Siba stones that the caciques used to wear on their forehead, mask heads that represent the semis, you know, the sacred beings. So this is very, 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 very pretty intense. Now, it does say in the story that Abe Borayel Guajayona had a father, Hiauna, which is it's interpreted as the one who became brilliant. So his father, Hiauna, he referred to his son now as Hiwanael Guanin, son of Hiauna. And that's when everyone knew him as Guanin. You know, guanine is that medallion. So there's a lot of stuff going on, Now, what happened was, remember the men that stood behind and they had no women? Well, according to some of the stories, these men, when it was raining one day, they felt a desire to have a woman since they didn't have women. So what they did was they found some creatures, okay, and they fell from some trees. And these creatures were not male or female. And they were very slippery. And the men just could not catch them. They were very slippery. So what happened was they asked to see, they asked Caracaracol men. Now Caracaracol was, it's translated as the scabby one. So you're talking about probably the hands had lesions on them. Or charred hands. And this is probably due to disease. So they asked for four of them, Caracaracoles, and since there were four creatures, so they try to capture these, you know, the men try to capture, you know, the four Caracaracol men try to catch them. And since their hands were rough, I guess for the side effects of this disease, which later on we refer to as the America's syphilis, but we'll get into that another time. So they finally caught up to these creatures and they tied them to a tree. And then at this point of the story, they find a bird, Iniri. And Iniri is the woodpecker, okay? And this woodpecker started pecking at these creatures, these four creatures they found. And they peck. And this is the part where with the pecking, the breasts were created. And then another pecking is where the vagina was created. So now this is the return of transformation of these creatures into women. So once again, the men had women again, thanks to
Okay. That was interesting, and I left this for the last. There is some speculation and understanding that Guajayona, okay, was the Behique, the first male Behique. And he was had powers, because what happened was he had some friends. He told some men to leave Casibahagua, as we mentioned earlier. And in Casibahagua, he told the men to leave, and he wanted them to look for the herb called digo. And they used this digo to clean their bodies while bathing. So there was a man called Yadrubaba, and he went out to find this digo in the dawn. But what happened was the sun showed up, okay? And then the sun showed up, and it trapped him, and it turned him into a bird, which we call the nightingale, okay? And they called it, Taínos called it Yahubaba Bayael, okay? So once again, more transformations. Now, here's the thing that I want to share is that in Casibahagua, there was a semi or sacred being that kept watch. His name was Mako Kael. He of the eyes that do not blink, Mako Kael. And Mako Kael is the person who was in charge of who would come into the cave and who would come, you know, he was the guardian. But he showed up late one day, and then when the sun came, boom, it turned him into a stone. Thus, he became a semi, the stone carvings of the semis. So most likely, this is the creation of the first semis. But Mako Kael, you know, so here we have the power of the sun, Gue, G-U-E. So there's a lot of mystical stuff going on, a lot of transformations. Humans becoming birds, birds creating women. A lot of symbolism. In future shows, we're going to break this all down, what does it all mean, okay? It's very, very important. So now we have the cycle one, the celestial beings. These are the sacred beings. And then in part two, we have humanity. These creation stories. Now, part three, I want to talk tomorrow. In part three, I want to talk about the Semis. Who are these sacred beings, and why were they so important, you know? And who is Yaya, you know, in relation to these Semis? So tomorrow is going to be an excellent show, and we're going to go all the way. We're going to break these Semis down, and we're even going to introduce you to some music. Taino calling song, which I created many years ago. And, you know, as a Taino people, we're contemporary people. Many of you who are listening may be Catholic, maybe Santeros, Spiritistas, Muslim. It doesn't matter who you are. This is about culture. But it's very important you understand our ancestral worldview, our spirituality, and how can we apply that now. Because in the spirituality, there's certain norms. There's certain ways that we live our life that other people, other cultures can say, whoa, that's an indigenous person right there from the Caribbean, you know? And how do we fight colonization in the midst of all this? So it's very, very important. So we're running out of time. It's almost 11:30. And I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in wherever you are. It was great seeing you and in Cyber World. I can feel you guys out there. And I just like to give a shout out once again to my daughter, Anani Ramos, Waterflower, for creating the theme song of this show. I am Taino Sagrado, former wrestler, manager, champion, super Taino of law, and also another world champion from Puerto Rico, El Dragon Jr. This is Taino Sagrado. I'm wrestling now. For the Taino culture, okay? So the square circle is life. See you again in the ring of life. Take care. Taino Deep.